The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watching. Winning cures all might as well be the theme for this evening. It's nice to see that after getting completely decimated in the last week, that we do have some left in the tank that we can turn around and make, you know, make everything happy again. But Ken, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing well. I mean, I feel better now compared to, I guess, early last week, which unfortunately Graham and I missed. But yeah, it looks like we didn't miss much until this past weekend. Then we felt a lot better.
Yes. A very up and down week, as we literally went from having the worst of everything to getting back on track and still being a playoff team. That is the biggest thing that is the takeaway from this weekend, Ken, that they managed to claw themselves into relevancy still.
Yeah. You know, Craig, I remember we always talked about this. What's with all the drama? Can the Jays not give us a drama of roller coaster? Seriously, you know, just win enough, get in.
One time, dude.
Yeah. I'm like, for the next 2, 3, 4 series, I'm like, let's say have no drama. You know, let's just win. You don't have to win pretty, just have to win.
But I don't think they like that whole like not no drama thing, because even the wins we had over this weekend, which we're gonna get into here, there was nothing but drama and
yes, I know,
missed opportunities.
So. Yes.
But first, let's talk on a high note. Did you happen to see what happened in Blue Jays minor league baseball this past weekend?
No. What happened? I heard there's some big news.
There is some big news as far as things go. Is the Vancouver Canadiens won their whole championship, everything.
Oh.
They took home everything. So the Vancouver Canadiens, the single A, high A affiliate of the Toronto Blue Jays, took home the Northwest League championship this weekend. So it kind of sucks right now we don't have our Vancouver native.
I know.
Jason on the show, because he'd be ready to spike the football. I have a strange feeling. But that was a really cool little tidbit that most Blue Jays fans are always worried about what's going on in our minor league system after the last couple of years with all the big trades and whatnot. But Ken, that's got to be an encouraging sign that there might be some real talent far down on the farm at this point.
Golf clap. But yes, very, 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 very happy about that. All the signs are pointing that, okay, looks like we're doing something right. Right. And that thing's the most important thing. So the fact that we got our single A program doing really well, and of course that'll hopefully bleed into the double A, triple A, and then eventually the ones that will join the Jays. So yes. Okay. I think Jason said he might be able to jump on. We'll see. He might be a little bit late, but we'll see what happens. Fingers crossed for that. But yeah, a lot of stuff going on with the Jays. And, you know, like I said, they really know how to make us work our emotions. That's all I can say.
Yeah, because you got something great like that going on while we're getting slammed over here. I do want to give us a special shout out to our buddy Eric Troyden at jaysjournal.com, who did a great write-up of the Northwest Championship. So if you have any questions, concerns, anything, or you just wonder a little bit more what's going on, because this isn't a minor league podcast, we only have an hour to play around with, so we got to get into Blue Jays playoff craziness that's going on right now. But I highly recommend going over to jaysjournal.com and checking out Eric Troyden's article on that. He might be on the show in the next week, a couple so or so here, Ken, too. So we'll see if we can get Eric on the show as well. So
nice.
Outside of that, there is one other horrible part of news, because without good news, you can't get bad news in Toronto Blue Jays land. And I don't know how much fun you've heard of the actual what's come out of the Alec Manoah saga.
No, I have a feeling you're going to tell me something. What's going on with him?
It keeps getting worse no matter what way the more news that keeps slowly trickling out, it almost just sounds like he just kind of set him out for the rest of the season, which seems very, very odd.
Yeah,
but it sounds like it was him saying it, not the team saying, have fun. So that's the difference of where we talked about this a little bit last week, where the Blue Jays would have been like, you know what, we're shutting you down for the season, which is what the news was last week. But coming from Blue Jays beat writers, it sounded like it might have been a little bit of the flip of that, where he's like deuces and walked out on the Blue Jays a little bit here for the end of the season. I don't know. I haven't seen him. This is just the fun, wonderful thing. But when I'm reading these kind of things from the Blue Jays main beat writers, Ken, it does scare me about what is going on with Alec Manoah. And I hope him all the best. And I hope that it's not what I'm reading, or at least in the light that it shines on Alec Manoah with the way that sounds. But it has been a crazy season for him. So I really don't know what to take away from it.
Well, that's the thing too, right? Because we talked about this all season, is that, you know, is his head getting in the way of it, right? Because physically he seems to be okay. I think he even lost some weight too, even before this season, actually. And I think he was having trouble with his placement throughout this season. So we thought by having him doing a brief stint in the minors, you know, just after that rough start, what was it, like 1-7 or something like that, where he was like really struggling. And we thought that maybe time away was going to be good for him. And he had he was not too bad in the minors. And then we brought him up and he had that really good game. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Chicago or one of the really bad teams. Mm-hmm. Right. And for some reason, just couldn't pull the trigger again. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wondering if having all this time off is going to help him. Do you think it's going to light a fire under him? Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, right? Because this season he came in with all the momentum of, you know, really close to the Cy Young Award winner a couple seasons ago. So there was all this expectation and pressure on him that I guess he just couldn't really pull it out this time for this season. So maybe this time off will maybe help, maybe humble him and say, okay, I have to change something, because what worked this season didn't work.
Yeah. Well, all this bad news came out this past week in Blue Jays, media. It was actually literally on Blair and Barker, and Ben Nicole Smith was on it too. So it's like every Blue Jays, media person you could think of on this one show talking about what's going on. And then the flip side of that coin is that he went into eventually talking about what a godsend that Hyunjin Ryu has been. In the midst of,
because
you had to have that flip side of the coin to all this stuff going on with Manoah to balance the ship. Where would we be right now without Hyunjin Ryu and Davis Schneider and the little fill-ins of Ernie Clements and whatnot in the last 2 months here of baseball? I think we'd be fighting with the Yankees for what we've got going on right now for just relevancy, period, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely. Yeah, well, that's
crazy stuff.
Wish him the best. I mean, I hope we get the Manoah from 2022, I guess I could, or 2021. Who was the good one? 2021?
21-22.
That's what
either
that's
Manoah we want.
Yes, just not the Manoah of 22 and 23 at this point. But
So it is what it is, I think, at this point. But like I said, let's dive into the actual fun here that is the Toronto Blue Jays, because like I said, it is a Molotov cocktail that you're juggling a little bit, I think, at this point, Ken, with the fact that they have, like I said, been in, out, all over the place on the spectrum here. Just to put the fans that are casually listening to this podcast in, we literally went from getting destroyed by the Texas Rangers, and the key word being destroyed.
Especially to the point third where game.
They took their I believe that we were outscored. I'm just doing some quick math in my head here. Yeah, 35-6 in that series.
35-6 Oh, it looks 35-9 No, I think it's 9. So you got 4-3-0 okay. And then 2. Okay. So 40 there something is. To 9. Could have got one more.
Just to make it fun. Either way, no matter how you slice it, that sucks.
Yes.
Well, or how could I do math after being home sick all day?
Yeah, well, it's just because it's Texas, right? So we've had a storied rivalry with Texas. And, you know, even if we had split this series, you know, that probably would have been so much better for us as a team. Because, like I said, we don't want to be losing series, especially now we're at the home stretch where it's like literally what we got the Yankees, the Rays, the Yankees, the Rays. And then the season's done. Right. So it's not going to be
a handful of games.
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't afford to miss any series. So if they can play 500 baseball at the minimum, that would be great. But
they need to win 60% of those games, I think, because the other fun part about this is, Ken, and I'm going to get to this in a minute here, too, but the Texas Rangers and the Seattle Mariners actually play each other 7 games over the next 20 or so games that are left on the schedule.
Let them destroy each other.
That's kind of what I'm hoping. But in the midst of that, the Blue Jays have to do their job. Because here's the other horrible part, Ken. We hold no tiebreakers over anybody that is currently relevant in the wild card race. So they have to win. There's no exceptions of it. And not to mention, they desperately need some momentum to beat one of these teams and just not make it a first round wild card knockout again. And if they do make it to the playoffs, I do think it's a more of a when with the schedule that is laid out there, but they need to do their part here over the next few days to just make sure that they're doing that. So, but as I mentioned, the Texas Rangers just took a giant dump in the Rogers Center and said, this is, they're almost like they're marking their claim for the playoffs at this point. And right now they currently sit exactly a half game behind the Toronto Blue Jays, who currently have the second wild card spot. But the Tampa Bay Rays, they're about 9 games out of it. So they're they're out of reach for us at this point, near locking it in. I can't find the stat for when it says they are mathematically locked in or all the other teams are eliminated. Yeah, it doesn't say that. But it's that close for the Tampa Bay Rays to be locked in. And right now, I think the more of the problem is the fact that they haven't locked out the American League East with the Baltimore Orioles yet. That is the catch. So it's going to be one of those two.
It's going to be one of them, but yeah.
We're winning a game.
So you're telling me we got to win out of the rest of the games, 60% of these games, for us to get a lock on the wild card.
And the more the merrier.
Well, yeah, like if we could sweep, you know, those things, that would be great, right? But we know the thing is, it's definitely going to be a stressful next few weeks, next couple of weeks, actually, because – like you said, even if we do that, that's the thing. Was it last season or the season before where we did everything right? Like we won what we needed to win, but we still couldn't make the playoffs. Was it not last season? I think the season before that, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the 2021 season. We were 91 wins, and if we had 92 wins, we would have been in because we owned the tiebreaker at that time over the Yankees, or it would have forced the game to play against the Yankees in a sudden death playoff game.
Right.
That was the fun. And that was the fun. Yeah. So sucked.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, that's why we're like this time it's going to be, like I said, I don't know who the schedule gods did. I would have loved to have been playing Oakland and Chicago at this point to close off the season.
But yeah. And then in the remaining 12 games that the Blue Jays have, you hit the nail pretty damn good on the head a few minutes ago. We basically play the Rays and the Yankees for all 12 games. The next six games are on the road, starting off in New York tomorrow evening. And then they play against the Tampa Bay Rays at the Trop. And there's a fun story there, too, that just came out in the baseball media today. And then we finish the season at home, at least.
Yes,
but my only hope in this whole thing is the Yankees are still playing for that fact that they don't want to be a shitty sub 500 level team. So they're not phoning it in. regardless of as much as what you would think. There are currently two games above 500, and like I said, they just don't want to chalk that up in Yankee history as a season where they thought they were going to go to the playoffs and I couldn't even finish 500. So,
right. So they might try to play the spoiler for us, basically, right?
They are going to be a pain in the ass, I think, for those six games.
Yeah.
So let's say you hope to split, right? That means you have to take it to school against the Tampa Bay Rays, who we could very well be playing in the playoffs. And my only hope with them in that is that last series where they're playing in Toronto to end the season is maybe they bench a lot of their guys, because they're going to be guaranteed a playoff spot. And if they're not fighting for the division until the last day of the season, because that's a big difference. If they're playing for the division, they have a chance to actually literally skip a round and not have to worry about the wild card nonsense. So that's what they're playing for at this point. My hope is that either Baltimore or the Rays, one or the other, I don't care who, run away with it a little bit from the other here in the next couple weeks, Ken, and then we don't have to worry about them maybe that last series, because they're just trying to worry about wild card seeding at that point.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're hoping that we get the bench warmers if we can. That would be nice, right? But the thing is, though, we can't just, I mean, yes, a win's a win. Of course, we'll take it. But if we're playing, let's see, said like we're playing like the bench warmers or whatever, we almost have to win a little bit more convincingly. Because if we have like the drama we did with Boston for the last couple of games,
it's like you're reading my mind, Ken.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice we won, but we want people to not fear us, but respect and fear us at the same time, that you can't sleep on the Jays, right? But if we barely squeak out a victory against, you know, the Yankees and barely squeak out the victories against the Devil Rays bench, then I'm like, oh crap, we're gonna have a really hard time when it comes to the actual playoffs themselves.
So before we dive further into where we're going, let's talk about the last bit of how we got to where we currently are right now. Is the Blue Jays did find a way, in all baseball luck, gods shining upon them, whatever the hell it might be, found a way to sweep the Boston Red Sox this past weekend. Yes. And I don't know if I can say it any better than that. The fact that literally we won a game on a swinging bunt in the 12th inning, I think, and then the day before that, more extra innings, and just having to have the weirdest of walk-offs over the last couple of days. And there's only so many things I could take out of these wins other than the fact that our bullpen is lights out right now. Our starting pitching is on point in running the show. But Ken, where in the F are we going to get some damn offense that keeps us in these games that aren't little 13, 14, 15 run or inning games that three runs?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? That's the big question, because our bats have been pretty much been pretty strong throughout the entire season. It just so happens that, you know, it seems like we got a little gun shy after getting spanked by Texas for some reason. Our bats went to sleep. And for some reason, Boston, which is not really they're not really a threat to us at this point, but for some reason, we just couldn't pull the trigger, so to speak. I mean, hey, Vlad hit a great 3-run home run that won us that, I guess, the second game, I believe, or the first game. I can't remember which one it was. So that helps. He's been hitting the ball well, but we can't just rely on Vlad. I mean, there were moments during the Boston series, I was watching Bichette. I'm like, is it just me, or does he seem to like he's struggling a little bit?
Yeah. Right? So there is that, but to that fact that the Red Sox were a pain in the butt this weekend, because they're still playing for their lives, and they're in a very much drastic situation compared to where the Toronto Blue Jays are. They're five losses away pretty much from getting mathematically eliminated from the playoff race. So that's where the fun of that whole piece is. The Yankees are seven, and then the other wild card contender that we have technically can't mathematically get eliminated until the last day of the season right now, because they have 12 games left and they need 13 losses to get eliminated right now. So, and that's the Seattle Mariners. It's just, that's how math works, right? So right now, this is a four-team race. And three really on top of each other between the Seattle Mariners, Texas Rangers, and the Toronto Blue Jays to hopefully be those wild card teams. So problem is there's only three spots. There's four teams there in that equation, Ken. So the Red Sox are holding on to the thread, just like the Yankees are currently, but it's getting to the point of desperate, right? They have to win every stinking game, and then the other teams have to somehow choke in that same fashion, right? Mm-hmm. So over this past weekend, what we saw was the Blue Jays finally put enough in the win column to be able to keep relevant, right? They're in the race, not outside looking in at this point, which was what everybody feared after that sweep of the Texas Rangers.
Well, so, yeah, we just didn't know, like, once you got, especially that 10-0 loss, where I think the fans were just angry with the Jays' performance. And I didn't want to watch the game. I just saw the score. I'm like, yeah. It was hard to watch,
because even though I'm booing in my seat at home, let alone all the guys in the Rogers saying, hey, you know, so, the whole gang on the flight deck is yelling at him.
So what really happened during that game? So I know I saw the score. Obviously, Texas was offense was clicking. So what let us down in that particular series on the whole? Was it the pitching? Was it everything? We just couldn't find anything.
I think there would have been enough good pitching if there was anything to back them up. The problem is every pitch at the beginning of those games, Ken, was high leverage all of a sudden because they saw what the Rangers offense was doing. So when you see them doing what they were doing and just annihilating pitching, I'm not surprised you end up being in the hole right off the bat, because it just took that much extra effort to stay relevant in those games. You got guys like Robbie Grossman hitting their 10th home run of the season, for Christ's sake, you know, in that 10-0 game. And then they just could not find a way to solve any of the Texas Rangers pitchers. That was the other piece to it. So yeah. It wasn't what they got like the game that you and I were. They finally found a way into the one we went to against the Kansas City Royals with Cole Regan pitching. Yes. And but it took something to creak that door open too, and that was all those wild pitches. They never got that good luck break that they needed in any of those games against Texas, and that's where the bipolar opposite of everything for the Red Sox thing was for Ken, was the fact that they got those lucky singles, those lucky hits, the bunts, this, that, whatever it was. And then, like you mentioned a minute ago, Vlad actually showing up, you know? Vlad is so key to this offense going, especially when Bo Bichette is not clicking. There has to be somebody thumping in that lineup. And until the last couple of weeks, that guy has been Davis Schneider, a guy that was even relevant in spring training. I love him to death, and I had the pleasure of meeting him. He's the coolest guy on the planet. But it's just mind-boggling to me that where we would be without any of those guys doing that. And then if you miss the throw-in of Davis Schneider and the Buffalo Boys to be able to do that, it's where would we be relevant?
That's a good question.
I have a strange feeling.
Yeah, I mean,
that's now you got Vladdy at least hitting the ball.
Well, yeah, and we definitely need at least half of our lineup to really pick up, right? Because you know what's going to happen generally, right? Because if the Jays are really close, and whether it's playoff time or just to make the wild card, the pitchers know what they need to do with Vladdy, right? They're just going to zero in on him, because especially he's the bulk of our offense. So if we do not have Bichette, we don't have Chapman, Varsho, Springer. I think Springer was struggling the last few games as well, right? If we can't have our regular starters, you know, pick up the slack, or the Buffalo trio of Schneider and Clement and you know, what is it, Horowitz or whatever, anyone who can't, if we can't rely on those guys, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, right? Because we're supposed to have a good amount of depth on this team, right? But everyone kind of needs to be on top of their game, especially these last few series that are very vital for us making the playoff run that we're talking about.
And everybody gets on it, and this is the first person, you know, that everybody always jumps on, is the fact that our offense hasn't clicked because Vlad has not been Vlad for this whole season. He still leads this team with 24 home runs. He still leads this team with 90 RBIs. You know, it's like, what else do you want the man to do? He can't put this whole thing on his back and truck it. It's not, you know, Joe Carter in the 93 World Series, you know, or what Paul Mahler did with the World Series. You know, this is a whole season. And the fact that you've been getting the most production, Vlad is in the top three of every offensive category that we have outside of batting average. Yeah. And actually, he is batting average. I'm shocked that in the midst of that, he actually is up there with Witt and Bo But to that point, we have seen some signs of life from Springer and so on and so forth. And it's just amazing to me that where we got to and how we've gotten here, that this offense, if these guys played their season averages, Ken, we'd be winning almost every damn ball game right now.
Yeah.
Whether it's Bo, Vlad, Matt Chapman, any of these guys, none of them have had good seasons for their careers this year. It's like they all fell flat at the same time. And all
it's the worst thing to happen.
Yes. And all I'm thinking is we need a new hitting coach. And I'm looking at the guy in Buffalo and Matt Hay that's been doing great for all these guys coming up.
Who's our hitting coach now?
But maybe that's just me. What was that?
Who's our hitting coach now?
Guillermo Martinez. I forget.
Mattingly's the bench coach, right? Like he's just okay. He's the right hand man to Schneider. So
yes.
Not to say this is gonna happen, knock on wood, this doesn't happen. But if for some fluke we don't make the playoffs, who's the blame gonna be? Is it gonna be on the players? Is it gonna be on Schneider himself?
Always the manager. Much as I don't want to see it happen, it's always the manager. It's Guillermo Martinez is the hitting coach. I was right.
Yes.
So, but I will be shocked if any of this pitching staff's around next year at all. And I'll be this person. I said a million years ago when Charlie Montoyo got hired. I wrote an article for at the time I was writing for this for my buddy Adam's website called South of the Six. It was all New York writers writing about Toronto sports. So it made sense. The last article I actually wrote for that website was, how is Pete Walker still here? ? Because he's just been here, and I'm all for it. I think it's great that he's been here as long as he's been here and whatnot. But maybe we're at that point, Ken, that it's time for a change. And I don't know if you do anything but promote Don Mattingly at this point, as much as I don't want to see it. Like I said, I am a Schneider fan. Has there been plenty of dumb moves? Sure. But that's what managers do. They things up sometimes, and then they do a lot better on the whole. This is still going to be damn near close to a 90-win team. I can't hold him completely responsible.
Yeah.
So
at the end of the day, it's the players that have to actually perform, right? Because Schneider can't throw all the pitches. He can't hit all the baseballs to try to get us the victories, right? His goal is, you know, the strategy and the management of the personalities that we have to work with. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, it's going to be very vital that, and let me ask this, has this ever happened where has a manager ever been demoted and promoted? So I'm saying, so let's say if it doesn't happen that we give Mattingly the book to manage, is there still a way we keep Schneider? Like, would he be a number two? Like, would he, if they swapped roles, is that even a thing?
I've never seen it happen, and I would highly doubt it would happen.
Yeah.
So, but to that point, like I said, I'll be shocked. I think at this point it might actually get solved at the front office level. And that, if that's what happens, because, you know, like I said, it's the Atkins and Shapiro thing, right? Shapiro's contracted it. I think Atkins is up for his contract. So either he's on that, like he's only got one more year left on it. Maybe he ends up being the scapegoat. He put the team together, said this team was going to win. Yeah, he's not wrong. It did win. It didn't win enough, maybe, is the catch, right?
Well, yeah, it was kind of like with I think when the Raptors got rid of their coach after they won the NBA championship, right? Like there was that expectation there. And I think he lasted maybe one or two seasons after the Raptors win, and then, you know, they got rid of him. So let's hope that's not the case with Schneider, because like you said, I mean, he's been with the system for, I don't know how long. Like, how long has he been with the Jays organization?
He started his career with the Vancouver Canadiens as a coach, but he was a player with the Blue Jays before that. So it's been probably damn near a decade at this point.
So he's in homegrown.
Being drafted as a player, coaching, move. If you wanted the poster child for their guy, that is the guy. And that's my biggest problem in this point right now. You marched him up to be that guy. I mean, if you're not going to stick with him a little bit here, that's where the catch is for me. But we'll see what happens here.
Yeah, you got to give him at least.
It will be one of those things. Yeah. I think that's going to come very quick if they miss the playoffs.
Yeah, you got to give the guy at least a couple of years, at least. Unless it's for some reason we're pulling Alamino where we're just way down, right? This is the second season.
He's got two more years on his contract, I think.
Yeah. So
he's got at least next year. I'm pretty sure he's got two. So I wanted to say they started this year with a 3-year extension for Schneider because this is his first full year. That's the thing that everybody forgets.
Yeah, because right? He took over last year. He's still learning, right? Yes.
Correct. He's still learning. And in the midst of this, he's got a great mentor with Don Mattingly right there. And Don Mattingly seems very happy here. So I don't see him just popping smoke and running away unless he does get that full-time manager's job would be my guess. But I don't know, at his age, does he want to keep doing that? Or is he happy just being the ear, the guy to talk into the ear for the manager at this point, let somebody else make all the hard decisions and not have to do.
Well, that's what I'm wondering, right? Does Mattingly even want to be it? Right? Does Mattingly want it?
Yeah.
Right? Because he's been doing he was the head coach for which teams before the Jays?
Miami Marlins, and I feel like there's somebody else, but I'm blanking because I'm only thinking Miami Marlins. How'd that look?
Right. He's been around the block for a while, right? So, could he take the Jays? Yeah, but remember, this is the fluke in case we don't actually make the playoffs. Because I think we're assuming we're going to make it. Even if it's just by the skin of our teeth,
we're going to make it by the skin of our teeth.
So we're just going to think positively, fans, that we're going to make the playoffs. And that's when the drama can kind of begin, right? So we'll see what happens with that. But
so let's not talk too much gloom and doom here. And
exactly.
Apparently, when you type in Don Mattingly for baseball and try to look up his stuff, it doesn't come into his coaching career.
I assume he just keeps talking about the
Simpsons. Shows his actual stats. Yeah, it's those damn sideburns. But anyway, I do want to point out because part of the actual talk that I had with David Schneider during the walk-off podcast little deal in Toronto when I was there with you the other day they were actually asking him, what's going on in Buffalo? Why are these guys coming up so ready to hit? You got three perfect examples in Horowitz, Clement, and obviously David Schneider. What is going on, and what is the secret sauce to the Buffalo chicken wing going on with the Buffalo Bisons or whatever it might be? And David Schneider pointed out Matt Haig, who many Blue Jays fans might remember as an adversary at one point, but he actually finished his baseball career as a player in the Toronto Blue Jays system and played for the Buffalo Bisons. Had a career year in AAA, and the Blue Jays were, I think, ready to re-sign him. And he goes, no, I'm good. And he became a coach for the Buffalo Bisons at that same time. So in the midst of that, clearly he's figured out something to do with hitting because he batted like 300, Ken, that year with the Buffalo Bisons. It was one of the best Buffalo Bison seasons like on record, especially in the Toronto Blue Jays era. So knowing that he's doing something right down there, and they still got Devon White coaching and other guys down there too. So there's some major league presence in that, and Blue Jays major league rep presence in that dugout down in Buffalo. So I'm curious to see where that helps going forward eventually.
Raw sugar, from hair care to body wash to lotions and more, is made with cold-pressed extracts from clean, good-for-you ingredients, delivering a raw clean that infuses your senses with raw joy. Raw sugar, available at your local Target.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But I thought that was a very interesting point that David Schneider pointed out, just that coaching staff.
So you said Devon White's part of the Buffalo Bisons. What coach is he?
I think he's a first or third base coach, which is shocking. He was a great base runner, right?
Yeah. He was very agile, very good arm. But yeah, no, that's great to hear. Like, we got good pieces in there for Buffalo to help mold the players that are ready. Because, like you said, the Buffalo triple threat that we have already has proven to be, you know, very valuable to this run, especially in the second half of the season, right? So, you know, is it fair to put some pressure on them for these last few series, though?
No, it's not, but it's going to happen anyway. Especially with Davis batting right behind Vladdy. I don't think there's any other way to split that lineup up right now any differently.
Yeah, I think so too. And you know what? Hey, they want to be in the big leagues. They're in the big leagues, so got to deal with the big league pressure, right? Because that's what every player is there for, is to play in the pros. Yep. But not just to sit on the bench, but to be called, to be needed, especially when those tense moments in a game are. So are they going to rise? Are they going to be the cream of the crop, or are they going to sink, right? And let's fingers crossed that they're going to rise to the top for what we need, especially to help push this run forward.
Just because I know you'll like this one. So far, some of them have been the cream of the crop.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, yeah. Macho man. Oh, all right. Man. So
might be thinking of Slim Jims now at this point. I don't know why.
Snaps. I miss the Macho Man, but yes.
I just miss all that kind of fun, period, like that. Even the Blue Jays' old ad campaigns and stuff used to have more fun than they currently have. I happen to be, like I said, I was homesick today for work, and I was flipping through the channels, and I don't know, you guys have the Pluto TV thing, I'm assuming, in Canada, too. It's just web TV. It's free. You just go on PlutoTV.com.
And oh, okay. I never really want to watch it. Okay.
It shows up on my Google TV thing at my house now, so it just comes up.
I'll look
so
up Pluto
TV. It was
TV.
Saying that it was showing MLB, like, best seasons, right?
Oh.
And they had one on Roy Halladay. They were talking about, you know, after all the success he had in Toronto, going to and just dominating with the Philadelphia Phillies, like we knew he could, right? But I remember the commercials when he was on the team back in the day, right? There's ones of him skipping rocks out on the lake, and all of a sudden you just see a boat start sinking. Like
a little guy, I think I remember that.
Stupid stuff like that. Nobody has any fun anymore. Have some fun. Vladdy going like this in the dugout is the only guy having any fun anymore.
Well, that and when they did that thing with his dad, right, where they, you know, threw that pitch, he's like, I would have swung, I would have hit that, or something like that. I saw that. I thought it was hilarious that you guys pointed out. So, yeah, yep. I mean, that's the thing, right? Because at stressful times, there has to be something to break the tension, because otherwise you're just going to be so tight and so stiff that you're not going to perform properly, right? So you have to have that, you know, that fine balance between, you know, time to be serious, but also it's okay to have a few laughs during the middle of the game and stuff like that, especially when it calls. Because, you know, was it when we lost Teoscar, and who else was it? Who was the other Jay that?
Ortiz.
Yes, Lourdes Gurriel. Right? So,
yep.
Yeah, it's interesting. We need that. It seems like Vlad is the only one. Because even Bo, he looks very serious.
Yep. Oh, he's super serious. And so is Davis on that whole thing, you know. So you get him and those two in there. Matt Chapman clearly is when he'll yell at John Schneider for doing something stupid. You know, it's those kind of things. I did just find a random funny MLB.com clip here that I'm going to share with you, because it was actually Danny Jansen. I better kill him audio here. Is it going to play or not? More or less, Danny Jansen was speaking to George Springer's at bat, trying to wake it up.
Okay.
So he's holding it up here and he's like speaking, and they actually put StatCast up on top of it saying that Danny Jansen knows two languages, and it was amusing. I was like, come on, this is, of course it's gonna be stupid about it. So it's probably something with Twitter not wanting to be on the broadcast thing. Because you know, Elon's locked all my fun stuff up on Twitter.
Come on, Elon.
Oh,
step it up, man.
X.
I know people still get. I think that's. I like. Okay, he likes X's. That's great. But people still call it Twitter, man. So you gotta. It'll take some time before you really do a name change where it'll stick, right? But
correct.
Is it just me? I think when I was watching the games with Boston really quickly here. Did they actually have two inflatable dumbbells as their celebration thing?
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
The hell is that?
They used to do the like cart thing where they ran down the. I don't know. I guess they're trying to bulk up, like maybe the old Saturday Night Live bit. I'm gonna pump. Yeah,
pump you up, right? So I saw that. I was like, what the hell is that? Is it okay? Hey, whatever works, right? We had the jacket, yeah. And then they have the and who was the one with the trident? Was it the Mariners that actually had the trident?
As the Mariners still, I think they were still doing that. I was saying, yeah, that's right. They are the ones doing the trident. I was saying if we were going to get traded to Oscar back this year, he needs to take the trident with him when he leaves. Yeah.
Yes,
that start would a be feud. Nice.
Yes.
So, but like I said, I do want to talk, Ken, before we get going too crazy on here, the craziness of those walk-offs. So, yes. Like I said, one of them being literally a swinging bunt. Whit Merrifield has to beat out that play. Otherwise, Vladdy will not score.
Yeah.
It just seemed like the stupidest way to win a ball game. And I saw Rafael Devers come in and pick that ball up, and you saw him. You've got to be kidding me.
But didn't it remind you of was it Major League One? Yeah, oh, yeah, I think it was a Major League One where I think Tom Berenger's character did that. He won the game on a bunt.
It was an actual bunt.
Yeah, and same thing with Mr. Baseball, Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Right? So they're expecting.
Yep, there you go.
You know, but I think Merrifield used the fact that I don't even think that anyone would have thought that you would bunt to try it out anyways. And Vlad looked confused as well for that first few seconds. You're like, oh, I should run. Right?
But at least unlike a few of his teammates in that same damn game. At least when the contact play was on, Vladdy actually ran home.
Yes. There were a few moments where there was like, oh, they forgot they didn't tag up properly or whatever. They ran too far from the base before they had to tag, and it was too late to try to run. But and then
you know something bad is going on when Buck Martinez sounds like he's ripping his hair out. Just he must have talked about Bo on that one not tagging up right for 15 minutes after that. And he was 100% right. On a hard line drive, you go back to the base. You know, if that ball's on the ground, you start running home. That's the difference, right? So I'm sure these are things you're teaching your kids at little league level, right? But that's just how it is.
Well, sometimes it happens. And we got to talk about, of course, the last game with Bat Chapman returning, because he's been struggling since he came back, and it was nice to see him. I think he was 2 for 3 or 2 for 4 or something in his last game or something that he was back in.
But remember on the Whit Merrifield swinging bunt game, he was pinch hit for Kevin Biggio, and Kevin Biggio doesn't hit that hit. We don't even get a chance for Whit to get that walk off in that 13th inning. Yeah, 13th inning. That Biggio hit in the 9th was the one that tied the game up. Well, led to the tie.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think Biggio has been slowly, you know, showing his value for the Jays. I wish he was a little bit more consistent with it, but you know, he's playing not too bad. Like, we're really happy that he's helping us win. Let's just hope he can take it home and up his game by the time we finish off the season. But yeah, like, nice to see Bat Chapman back. I remember the first part of the season, everyone was calling him Bat Chapman, and that's all he was even calling him, right? But yeah, but for some reason, he wasn't doing the super great, but he's coming around the last couple of games. Let's hope that that trend continues as well, because we're going to need that bat.
Yeah. Speaking of another bat that seems to be finding some legs to go with his, you know, awesome frame here, is Dalton Varsho, actually.
I was going to say Varsho.
That same game. So that was a nice encouragement, because he actually had a good, you know, he was another reason that things went right in the day before that, too. Same thing with that Biggio one. He was the one that drove Biggio in on a ball that just kept sailing and sailing and sailing into the outfield. So it worked out really well for Dalton Varsho in both those games, one on a pinch hit, one on actually, you know, starting the game on Sunday.
Yeah, he looked pumped. Like when he got that, I think we got that triple or something like that. I was like, wow.
Furious, man. It's like, I'm trying to think of somebody that like would have gotten more pumped up on that, but that was like the exact expression of every Blue Jays fan watching, because that's how we felt all of a sudden seeing them get back and claw into that game, because at that point we were down. Ken's the other fun part, so that got us tied up.
Well, yeah, like I don't want to be losing and then have to come back in the end, right? Comfortable wins are nice, but haven't checked the score. What's the live score we have right now with the Jays and the Yankees
off tonight?
They're off. They're starting tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Oh, you're okay. Like me, your day in the future. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, I gotta get the game. It's Tuesday. And oh, wait, no, it's not.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday.
So,
well, we're gonna need
the other
break.
Fun part about that game on Sunday. Jordan Romano gets to pitch to Rafael Devers in the ninth. No, I'm sorry. I take that back. Romano was used too much on the night before. It was Eric Swanson that was pitching against Rafael Devers in the ninth with two outs. Why in the F are you pitching to freaking Rafael Devers? I don't care who's next after him. It was a lefty on righty matchup. Rafael Devers always finds a way to beat us up. Don't pitch to him. It just made no sense to me.
Intentional walk would have been nice.
The other thing is too, he got him up 0-2, so he was cruising. Swanson was looking great at that point, but my God, you can't let the best player on the opposing team be the one to beat you. And I guess at that point, he didn't technically beat us because he tied the game back up. But after that marathon we had the night before, I was like, oh come on, here we go again, right? Thankfully, it didn't last as many innings. I mean. And no one got to the bottom of the ninth, but who would have known at that point, right?
What I found really interesting was that I think when he was pitching to him, it was like a 97 mile an hour fastball that he was throwing, and he just cranked it. It's not like he threw like who's that pitcher that was the last game where the guy only threw like curves and sliders and slurves and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm forgetting his name.
Yeah. Whitlock.
You're talking about the Red Sox guy, right?
Yeah, he has a Whitlock or something. He didn't. I think he had one fastball like I saw at 91, but everything else was like slow,
junk ball.
Yeah. So.
It was Whitlock.
And a lot of strikeouts too for the Jays. Unfortunately, we were getting beat by slow pitches, right? And you know, his fastball wasn't even that
fastball hitting team. That's the problem, right? So everybody's been beating us with junk ballers and whatnot. And I made this joke last year, and unfortunately, I still think it's relevant. If the Blue Jays, if you want to get a win against the Blue Jays today and you need it, you better just pick whatever the fuck random arm out of your damn minor league system and throw them out on the hill because they won't be able to hit them. Guarantee it. New pitchers against the Blue Jays for some damn reason. Don't know how the Blue Jays won't find a way to hit them.
Well, the funny thing is, I think when I was watching a lot of the Blue Jays games here, I found like the most common strikeout was always low and away, and most likely a curve or a slider. And I find that we seem to be swinging at those pitches a lot for some reason when we're striking out. So not that we say we want to give the other teams advice on how to beat us, but for all our other listeners who are not Blue Jays fans who want to beat the Jays, please pitch us fastballs. You want us to just pitch us fastballs. We're good.
Yeah, Santiago Espinal killed me in a clutch situation where he swung at one that was like 10 feet in the other batter's box. I get it. It's a slider, and I know it's not easy to hit. But still, I was like, oh, come on. You had the count in your favor. Just keep the bat on your shoulder. And it was one of those things. So that would have been ball four, I think, in that situation I was thinking of, too. So that would have been a guy on base versus a strikeout.
Well, that's what I like with Vladdy, actually, because he is taking a lot of pitches. Like, he's not like first pitch swinging kind of thing, right? I mean, unless it's really a pitch he likes, but he's very patient, I find, which is, I think, does he have the most walks for the Jays?
I can find that out. But anyway, he's getting back to that is the catch, Ken. He got away from that for a while, and it was kind of driving me nuts. Yes, he has the most. He's tied.
Yeah, he's tied with Bell.
Brandon Belt. Yeah. Brandon Belt has they both have 60 walks. The crazier thing is here that Brandon Belt's done that in almost half the games. 97 games versus 146. Matt Chapman being the next guy.
Yeah. So Chapman swings a lot too. I think he is leading the league in strikeouts and leading the team in strikeouts, unfortunately.
Seeing that number right now, he's definitely leading our team.
Yeah.
Making me so hurt that he's not going to possibly be a Blue Jay next year?
You think we're going to lose him?
So I think he's going to ask for too much money. I really do. He still had enough of a defensive year and enough offense this year to merit a pretty hefty payday because he's the only decent third baseman also on the market this year, too. Ken's the catch. So if you want somebody even of Matt Chapman's caliber, you have to trade for him. So there's the catch. Yes. So
well, bet.
Some team can overpay him this year, as much as I like Matt Chapman. I also think we have too many good options coming that we can't ignore between Edison Barger and Aurelvis Martinez, both being third basemans. So that's my personal thought. Come into spring with those two guys and maybe a trade for somebody that's also a throw-in and see what happens. I'll make this joke, too, that David Schneider didn't look too bad at third base those couple outings that he had either. Kevin Biggio's looked a lot better at third base than he has in a lot.
That was going to be my next question.
Out there, I've been shocked. And I don't like that left side of the infield one way or the other is all day, every day still. But you could do worse.
Well, that's what I was going to be wondering. Like, do we have someone that can take Chapman's place, right? Should he leave and all that sort of stuff? So you talked about Schneider, you talked about Biggio and stuff like that. You know, those are decent options. Like I said, I've seen them play. They seem to be pretty good.
Yeah.
But I guess they're not commanding they're not giving the offense that I guess Chapman did give us, right?
Yeah, I'm in that ballpark of right now with everything that's going on next season and can't hurt unless it's the right price. If you get Matt Chapman here on the right deal, sure, fine. I'd love to see him back. But I have a strange feeling you're going to end up over, oh my God, paying him because he's also a Boris client. So he's one of
Boris,
you know, the mega freaking agent, Scott Boris.
Oh,
he's one of his clients. So he's going to get paid. And here's the other part to that point, Ken. I'd rather pay Hyunjin Ryu right now.
Yeah, I can see that. I'd rather give Ryu the money. And yes, he seems to be okay. He seems to be healthy now. So, you know, and he's still only pitching, what,
and
five innings?
And
they don't
need a stopgap until they find somebody else in their own system to come up with, whether it's a Ricky Tiedemann or whoever, right?
We did talk about Tiedemann before in the season. Ryu. Yeah, we talked about Tiedemann earlier.
He's finally back and pitching. That's why nobody's been talking to him.
Yeah.
He got off to a great start and got hurt.
Oh, that's why. He's the one that over 100 miles an hour. What Tiedemann had?
He's damn near close to it.
Yeah. And I think we used him, what, a couple of games this season, and then we brought him back down, right?
He has not played for the Blue Jays yet. You might be thinking of crap. I'm trying to think of his name. You're thinking of Nate Pearson, maybe.
Maybe that was it. My mistake, yeah. Someone who had a big arm. Anyways, and, you know, yeah.
Yep. But anyway, Ricky Tiedemann is looking very good for a Blue Jays future. And same thing with Yosvar Zulueta, who was talked up massively by Jay Jackson at the event I went to with the walk-off podcast, saying that he's the next big thing. And I trust Jay Jackson's judgment on that. So I've been thinking the same thing. I just can't wait for him to come back and see what he's made out of, kind of thing. But so, like I said, that's next year kind of stuff.
So can you walk me through about Jay Jackson? Because at least according to some of this, he looks really good for what he's providing. Is he just not the guy, whether it's middle relief or closer or setup man? Like, he doesn't seem to have a defined role.
He's on most Major League Baseball teams right now. And this bullpen we have that we've amassed with the Genesis Cabrera and Jordan Hicks all of a sudden, I think Jay Jackson's unfortunately been squeezed out, which I kind of hate, especially looking at how well Trevor Richards has done lately. Richards doesn't look healthy, or something funky is going on. They can't get the feel of his changeup the way he had it earlier in the season when he was the biggest reason we stayed relevant for a long time, because he was the only one that was eating up innings in that bullpen. And he was also even starting those few outings while Manoah was really kicked out of the rotation too. So I don't want to write off Trevor Richards, but right now I would rather win some damn ball games and just say, hey, Trevor, don't worry, you'll be on the playoff roster, but Jay Jackson's coming in to help us get there.
Yeah, because it seems like for guys like Jackson, it seems like he's only meant to work with maybe one or two batters, worst case or longest case, maybe one inning, it seems like, right? Like so he's not the guy to close it. He's not the guy to set it up. He's literally, if you're pitching to one particular player of the opposing team, is when you kind of bring him in, looks like, right?
Yeah, but to that point, he has excelled amazingly. And yeah, mind you, he is also, in my opinion, in the midst of a playoff race, the kind of guy we need in that bullpen, because he's been there, done that, and he's also apparently quite a bit of a goofball from me talking with him that night.
So, love the goofballs.
Well, you need somebody like that around, and you also need somebody like him that has the experience. This guy was a great pitcher as a starting pitcher for a good chunk of his career, and he's obviously fallen back more into a relief role. But he is a solid reliever, especially when the Blue Jays clearly have gotten him down to some two-pitch combo, three-pitch combo, whatever it might be. But he's been chewing people up for the 30 innings that he's been with out of the bullpen for the Blue Jays this year. And
yeah, I'm just wondering, like I said,
I'm worried that Trevor Richards double those innings is maybe just a little worn out. You know, it could be a million and one things. So
yeah, I don't know. Nice. I want to see some more out of Jay Jackson. Like you said, he's one of the more experienced guys on the team, but you know, still would like to see him contribute a little bit more to it, because for the times we used him, it's been pretty good. Yeah. So that's why I was wondering, why do we use him more often?
Yeah, Trevor Richards in his last 15 innings has a 10.8 ERA. That's okay. 15 games. So I'm not trying to be, like I said, call out Trevor Richards completely, because he's one of the big reasons we've gotten here. But right now, you just got to shit or get off the pot. Right. So, but to that point, this is also a bullpen that has had Bowden Francis in and out, who's done really well. You know, he's got a 1.73 ERA in 36 innings. You know, we had a bunch of innings eaten up by Nate Pearson, who at the beginning of that was looking like he could be stealing a job from somebody. We now have Chad Green, who has been doing well since he's got settled in, you know, things like that. There's a lot of good pieces going on in this bullpen, and that's the thing that, like I said, it just sucks that he gets pushed out a little bit because of this whole situation, because he's that good too, and I think he deserves to be on this team.
Yeah, I think so as well. Right, so we'll see. I mean, we're going to have a heavy reliance on the bullpen, especially for the next few series and stuff like that, especially if we're having a couple of two run leads that we need to maintain, and the starter's gone, then we need these guys to definitely also step up and play their role to get us to get Romano to close it out. Right. So, you know, let's hope the Jays do well for these next few series, and it's definitely going to be exciting.
Again, we need 9 wins is what. So you said we needed 91 or 92 wins. I think 92.
I think my guess was 93, but yeah, it's going to be tough.
Okay. So let's say we'll go in the middle of those two, between 91 and 93. 92 wins. If we are going to get to 92 wins for this season, we need to win 9 of the next 12.
Not impossible, but also definitely not easy.
It's going to be a little rough. But
yeah,
I would say that cements the Blue Jays' future as a playoff team if you get to that point. So that would be the difference, right? Anything short of that, you're playing with the baseball gods.
Yeah.
Which we might as well have been rolling the dice in the last 3 games for anyways, at least definitely the last 2. But when will the luck run out is my question, and I think they need to stop worrying and relying on that to happen. They need to start figuring out what they need to do to get this offense moving. So on that note, Ken, tomorrow we have Yusei Kikuchi against Cole Schmidt for the Yankees. Then we have Kevin Gausman against, what's his name? Mike King. And then we have Jose Barrios versus Garrett Cole on Wednesday evening. So, or Thursday evening. So it's going to be a fun time in New York here, is what we're running into. Some, the only pitching left in the Yankees starting rotation, unfortunately. So what are you thinking for that series against those three? I think you're going to have some good luck against those two first gentlemen, but Garrett Cole has been Garrett Cole, unfortunately, this season.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, I think we're going to do okay, knock on wood, right? But I'd be happy with 2 out of 3, you know, but I don't know. I would prefer the sweep, actually. I know. I would still prefer the sweep, though. Yeah, because if you said if we have 12 games, we got to win 9, I don't want to lose a game to the Yankees. Yep. I can see maybe getting it from the Rays, losing a game to the Rays or two, because they've always been, you know, they're really good, right?
If they take 2 out of 3 for the remaining series, is that would get them at 91 wins.
Yeah.
So they're going to need to squeak a sweep in there somewhere.
That's hope.
I would think it's more likely to see it against the Yankees than it is against the Rays.
Yeah, that's I think so too. Maybe the Yankees, not so much the Rays. I'm happy if we get a split, to be honest. still want to get, still want to win the series, but I'll take a split if that needs be. But oh boy, it's definitely boring here.
I think they need to step it up these first three games against the Yankees and set the tone for the end of the season here. And I would think, honestly, I'm pissed that we had an off day today, because they would have been flying high a little bit into New York to be able to, you know, ride the momentum a little bit from the two wins and the walk-offs,
Yes.
So it would have made it a little bit easier, but maybe a day off ain't so bad either. I just hope they come out swinging tomorrow night in the Bronx and they'll be able to ride a win behind Yusei Kikuchi, who has been one of the better pitchers for the Blue Jays as far as record.
Hoping for Yusei Kikuchi to get his 10th win of the season, because I feel like he's the only one left. We have Bassett already with 10 plus, Gausman as well, Barrios as well. So I'd be like, yes, Kikuchi, get it for the Jays, right? So we have all their starters with the exception of Manoah, who's basically gone now, as all the ones with double digit victories.
Ryu hasn't been around long enough to get 10 wins, although he's put a good dent in that for somebody who's only been around as long as he has been so far.
Yeah,
but
absolutely.
To that point, so let's quickly talk picks to click. So Ken, seeing you weren't here last week, I'm going to shuffle these names up. And you tell me which one of these gentlemen you think might have had the best week in Blue Jays baseball out of these four guys. We had the Hot Dog Kings, the Loony Dog guys, here last week. That was a very, very fun show, and shout out to those guys who got their last Loony Dog hot dog night of the eve of the year this coming Tuesday. So we have one more week and then they get get that. So we had Brandon Belt, who didn't end up playing. We had Whit Merrifield, George Springer, and Santiago Espinal for the picks last week.
Jeez.
It's pretty rough.
None of them really stood out. The only thing I could think of is that I think Merrifield might have pulled it off, especially with his game-winning bunt. That's the only thing I can think of how he remembered, because the other ones, like you said, Bell didn't even play. I didn't hear a peep out of Espinal. So I'm going to go with Merrifield.
Other than, like I said, he swung at some bad pitches.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to unfortunately pick Whit Merrifield, I think, is that white too. Because out of those four gentlemen, he had the only thing offensively going with the walk-off, even if it was a swinging bunt. But he had some other good hits he peppered in over the week too.
Yes.
But Ken, guess what that does? That gives you another win. Because one of the Loony Dog guys picked it. Big for your spot last night or last week. So that's 9 wins for you on the season. I think you clinched it. Just saying.
9 wins. Okay.
I was the next closest with 6. Jason had 4. The guest spot had 3. So that's all your weeks in Blue Jays baseball. But Ken, it is your week to pick first. So who are you thinking for the next week here?
I am going to pick.
So I'm going to switch because I just don't want him to have a pick over here from last week with carrying over Brandon Belt. So I'm going to take the initials, which is Bo Bichette for the other one. So it'll be BB still. So that'll be Jason's pick. And then we had George Springer carrying over in the guest spot. So anybody but those two gentlemen.
Right. I'm actually going to go on a limb here. I'm actually going to pick Chapman because I think for some reason, as he's struggling and he started to come around a little bit, I think he might want that money at the end of the season. So I have a feeling he'll want to actually try to perform a lot better, especially near the end of the season. So I think he's going to try to step it up a bit.
I hope so for the Blue Jays' sake, because they could really use a veteran, especially a playoff veteran like Matt Chapman stepping up. Because mind you, many Blue Jays fans always forget this. He played in the Oakland A's system, so he was in the playoffs for like 4 years in a row.
Oof.
Or 3 years or something like that. So he's played plenty of playoff games, and pretty much all of them against the New York Yankees, because that's just how wild cards and playoffs always turned out.
Let's utilize that.
On that note, correct. Get some juice going, right? Get it going. And kind of like how Springer always turns it on this time of year, which he had a pretty good late week last week too, but he didn't have any walk-offs. He did more defensive plus, right? I'm going to pick Alejandro Kirk because I've been dying to see some more out of him. He started peaking up and then kind of leveled off again, and then I'm waiting for that next step to look like regular everyday King Kirk. So,
Naval beef.
I think that's it. So, Ken, is there anything you wanted to discuss or anything this evening before we go off the air?
No, I'm good. I'm just excited for the next week or so. And let's keep the momentum going, Jays.
Yeah. So Blue Jays fans, on that note, we are going to possibly be here again this week, depending on how the playoff picture turns out. Jason was expressing some fun this weekend. I don't know what your schedule is, but we'll talk about that when we see some good or bad, or, oh my God,
yeah,
from the Toronto Blue Jays this week, and see what happens, Blue Jays fans. But we are going to be here, especially next week, as the Blue Jays look to wrap up the season. And then hopefully we're not going into the season off-season preview already that following week. We'll see what happens in Blue Jays baseball, but we are here with you, Blue Jays fans. Make sure you join the conversation on here and on all of our social media. We are the official podcast at jaysjournal.com, part of fansided.com, and just make sure you listen to wherever you get your podcasting pleasures for. We are here and ready to go. Are we good, Ken?
We're good.
All right. 1, 2, 3. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
George Bell.
Thank you for listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, at BirdWatchingGC, and our YouTube channel. If you want to support the show and get extra content, please consider joining it to our Patreon at patreon.com/BirdWatchingGC. Go, Jays, go.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.